I bring you grace, mercy, and peace, all gifts from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which is the basis for our meditation this morning, is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. Or as another has translated these words, happy are the unhappy. These seem to be rather paradoxical, perhaps even absurd words of Jesus. To mourn means to grieve, to cry, to wail with sorrow. And what Jesus seems to be saying in our text is that there is happiness to be found in such activity. But the questions which we have before us this morning are, how can this be so? Why should mourning be a part of the Christian life? We find that the Master has presented to us a paradox, a kind of puzzle for us to solve. And by the power of God's Word, this morning we shall try to put that puzzle together. Well, for a number of reasons, the American brand of Christianity has some difficulties with a statement such as, blessed are those who mourn. It's upsetting for some because their faith has become merely a matter of the head and not also of the heart. And I think that as Lutherans we particularly can fall into this problem because of our rightful emphasis upon Christian education. It's important to teach correct doctrine. It's important to know what the Scriptures have to say. But the fact is that God desires to work not only with our intellect, but also with our emotions. He desires to create in us a kind of heartfelt trusting in what Jesus Christ has done. He desires to spring up in us a joy which fills our entire being. And he also wishes us to mourn. But there's a second group that has a problem with mourning. And they have a difficulty with mourning because it creates emotions which engulf us. You really can't mourn half-heartedly. And there are some, perhaps some even here this morning, who feel that such emotion is simply not appropriate. They think that we should be like Clint Eastwood in his movie, seemingly emotionless. Crying is for babies. Grief is for the weak. Some have even pictured Jesus Christ as a great macho man who went to the cross without flinching. And I'm sure all of you have known people who have kept everything inside and have always tried to present a really strong exterior. Such people don't want to mourn. And a third group also of people who have difficulty with the idea of mourning. And these are Christians who think that, as Christians, we should always be happy on the outside. We should always be smiling and kind of bouncy. And if we are having difficulties, if we are mourning, well, then there must be something wrong with our faith. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And if we're looking for reasons for mourning, we don't have to look very far. All we have to do is look at ourselves. And what we see is that the situation is not too good. We have not lived the all-star Christ-like life. Oh, we may not have committed adultery, but we have lusted. We may not have been totally lazy, but there's been more than one assignment which is just kind of blown off. We may have loved the whole world. There's been certain individuals which just can't stand. And thus we find ourselves saying again and again with the Apostle Paul, the good that I would do, I just don't get done. And the evil that I would not do, that's what I do. As we look inside, we see all kinds of spiritual wretchedness. And is there anything that we can't do? Can we do anything but more? We think of Peter in the temple courtyard after he denied his Lord three times. And when he realized his sin, he went out and wept bitterly. His sin left him no alternative. So that's the first reason for mourning, is found in our own sin. A second reason comes as we look at the kind of devastation which sin has created in the world. What do we see as we look about us? Crime, poverty, unbelief, despair, loneliness, and finally death itself. And if we have any compassion at all for our fellow human beings, can we not mourn? Jeremiah, as he thought about what was happening to his people, that they were being deprived of their homeland, wept. Jesus, as he looked out over the city of Jerusalem and saw the unbelief there, as he saw the destruction that would come to that city, wept. And if we are to be followers of Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, is there any alternative for us than to mourn? But this is certainly a rather somber statement. And mourning, as a part of the Christian life, is serious business indeed. But Jesus doesn't stop with the statement, "Blessed are those who mourn." He goes on to state the reason why such activity is blessed. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Mourning as a Christian does not leave us in hopelessness or despair. It leads to the comfort of Jesus Christ. This makes sense, first of all, on a psychological level. For we know that in order for emotional comfort and healing to enter us, oftentimes we first must express those kinds of feelings which are running around inside of us. We must see our need for comfort. For example, following the death of a loved one, it's healthy to express those feelings of loss which we have inside of us. And if we don't, we try to put up a strong exterior. We pretend that there's really nothing wrong. Are we not saying that we really don't need any comfort? That we can do without it? Well, if this is true on a psychological level, how much more true on a spiritual level? Well, if we keep those feelings of guilt inside of us, if we keep our feelings of sorrow over sin within us, are we not pretending that sin really isn't that bad? That we can overlook it, that we can do it on our own, that we really don't need the kind of forgiveness and comfort which comes from Jesus Christ? It's for that reason that we see the importance of the law. For it's the law which crushes us, it's the law which compels us to mourn. And we fall down on our knees, and our tears drop at the foot of the cross. We see a tremendous need for comfort and forgiveness from our Lord and Savior. And you know, Jesus doesn't fail us. He who would bid us to go to our knees also picks us up again. And he puts his arm around us and he tells us that you are his. And he reminds us about what he has done for us, of his suffering and death, of his love which was demonstrated in that death, which has washed away our sins, and that love which now offers to us forgiveness, a clean slate. And we're reminded that no matter how bad things may get in this world, that Jesus is with us. That his comfort is always there, despite our own sins, and despite all the many things which can happen to us. He is there. And it's that comfort of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ which allows joy to fill us as individuals. And then the paradox doesn't seem quite so puzzling. Happy are the unhappy? Yes. Because mourning as Christians is followed by the comfort and joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And really for the Christian, it works no other way. We see our sin, and we mourn. We see our Savior, and receive comfort and joy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Amen.